And so as we continue this thought, I want you to notice there from Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, Matthew opens up and gives you and ties this promise back to Genesis 12 that Jesus is the son of David, the son of Abraham. And the question is why? Well, you said the word of God, and that is true. But let me be a little bit more specific. Matthew is announcing that the promise has arrived. The promise has come. He's been here, and he's connected to that promise that God gave to Abraham, which goes back to chapter 3. And so everything pointed here from Genesis, Exodus, the kings, the prophets, now Christ. And those who knew their scriptures, knew their Bible, they knew that this was the way it was supposed to be. But they're just now seeing it, and they're going, wow, this makes sense. What's interesting in Matthew's account, just to get a little bit more detailed, the scribes and the priest were looking for this. And how do we know that? Matthew, the apostle, Levi, the tax collector, in Matthew chapter 2, there's evidence of this right here. When King Herod found out or heard about this king of the Jews that was born because the star is in the east, and these wise men came from the east, which was likely individuals influenced by the prophets of Babylon time frame when the Israelites or the southern kingdom were in captivity, they had heard about the coming of this Messiah. There is a signal, and they come looking for this promise that's going to be fulfilled. And watch what Herod does in verse 3. King Herod, who's playing the role of a king, he's not of the right tribe, he's not of the right channel, he's related to the Jews, but he's from Esau's line, if you know your history there. But he gathers up who in verse 4? Notice it. The chief priest and scribes, and he demands of them something. And he says, where should the Messiah be born? Now think about the question. Think about it. How did he even know to ask the question? Where would one called the Messiah be born? Where had he heard about that? Who had been talking about someone called Messiah is coming? What is that connected back to? That's connected back to Genesis 12, the promise of Abraham. And what's a fascinating point here is the answer is given in verse 6 or verse 5. They answer and say in verse 5, not we think, not we remember, we heard it through oral tradition. What do they say? It is written in the prophets, and in specific, the prophet Micah here in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, in Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. That's fascinating. I could go to other passages and show you how they were looking for the promise. They thought John the Baptizer in John chapter 1 was that prophet. And in chapter 1, it's capitalized the word prophet because it's referring back to Deuteronomy 18, where Moses said, the Lord thy God shall raise up one from amongst thee, a prophet like unto me. Deuteronomy 18, if you want to go check it, verses 15 through 18. And it will be him, that prophet, that your hearts will have to be turned to, and you will have to listen to him, because God will put the word in his mouth and he will speak it. So in John chapter 1, John the Baptizer is preaching as he's told to preach. They come up to John and they challenge him and say, are you that prophet? They're referring back to the word of God. They're looking for that promise. They want to see this revealed. So it's an amazing story, account of truth. Look at Romans chapter 1 now. Paul's gospel demonstrates the promise of Abraham is completely fulfilled. The gospel here that he preaches, he writes, powerful power vested in this message is backed by the Abrahamic promise. In chapter 1, notice again what we read, verses 1 through 6. We'll scan through these, Romans 1, 1 through 6. Paul says, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God, which, now notice that verse 2, he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, as was written beforehand. He'll say that in chapter 15, verse 4 of this book. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of who? David, according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And so we see, look at verse 5, by whom we have received apostleship, grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. You're going to have to do the same thing, obey this faith, obey this gospel. And it's among and for all, how many nations? All nations for his name's sake. This is tied right back to that promise, going back to Genesis chapter 12. As you read through Romans, you'll find out why the Jews missed it. They had no excuse. The physical offspring, that's why I had verse or chapter 9 read. You'd better be careful. I think there's a parallel today. If you read chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, parents, I would encourage you to talk to your children about the Israelites that crucified Christ. Chapter 9, verse, they were privileged. The Bible says, of whom is concerning the flesh, Christ came. Everything pointed to them, their nation. Christ came, and when he came, they crucified him because he didn't give them what they thought they wanted or needed. Oh, he brought them what they needed. I think in the church, though, we have this idea, if you were born and raised in the church, you might be special or privileged or entitled. Do you feel that way? You've been privileged, but you, in one sense, bear more responsibility. And we'd better think about what Paul is saying in this text. And so, again, that's why I brought that up. I want to make sure we don't become spoiled and rotten. Can I say that? Spoiled, rotten. Are you spoiled, rotten? I hope not. So there's three, again, great elements of this promise. Back to Genesis 12, the nation began with Abraham, became the nation of Israel. The land, Canaan was the land. You have this national inheritance. God fulfilled it through Joshua, David, Solomon. And then you have the blessing of all families, Jesus Christ, the gospel, the fulfillment of the promise. Do you think this promise in Genesis 12 was about land, physical land, temporary lands? Do you think it was about physical kings? Those kings that came from David's seed, like Solomon. Remember what we learned about Solomon? Or do you see the king now coming from David's offspring being the Christ, who is a king of all kings? He is the Lord of all lords. He is the master, the one that bears all rule and authority. And that's eternal. And that kingdom that he established, its headquarters is where? In Jerusalem? In Rome? Where's the headquarters of the kingdom of God today? Jesus said, all power and authority have been given unto me. Where did it come from? Where is it now still from? Heaven. And they were told to go into all nations preaching this gospel because it's been fulfilled. And I'm reigning and ruling in heaven. I'm going to give you three passages in the book of Galatians. They're all in chapter 3. And I'll offer the invitation now so that you understand how privileged you are. How blessed you can be. In Galatians chapter 3, notice verse 8. Paul uses this very text to support this message. And he records, it's written, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Look at verse 16. If you had any doubt about that seed promise or that promise being Christ, mark verse 16 in your Bible, Galatians 3. Now that to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made, he saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is, what does it say? Christ. And now drop down to verses 26, the last four verses here of this chapter division. He says to those churches of Galatia, you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And then watch verse 29. And if you be Christ, then are ye whose seed? Abraham's seed, and heirs according to how many promises? One promise, the promise. Like I said, there might be some sub-promises, like that song we just sang, but it's all about the promise, which is the gospel, which is about the Christ, who redeemed us by his blood and bought and paid for us. And for those who would obey this gospel, this promise, my question is do you believe in God? Do you believe that he tells the truth? Do you see, I would ask, that he tells the truth, that he fulfilled this? Surely you do. Surely you can. I called Mike today, and he quickly texted back and said, I can't talk. And boy, I said, you better be ready to talk. I got to talk. No, I didn't think that. He replied, so I'm in a Bible study. I'll call you right back. Why was he in a Bible study today? To teach lies or to teach convincing truth, the promise, to show people what they can do in order to be saved? That's why we study with people. Show them this evidence of truth and let them make their minds up to become a child of God by this promise that goes back to Abraham, child of God by the blood of Jesus Christ, the seed and offspring of Abraham, but the Son of God, the Son of the promise. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want you to know we always are ready to help you here at 9th and Main. Make that decision. If you're ready now to repent of your sins because you believe, you know the truth, confess Christ before men publicly, you can do that right now at this invitation. And we can take you right back here, take that confession and baptize you, immerse you in the water for the remission of your sins, and you can leave here a child of God, just as we just noted and read. Are you ready to make that decision? Why don't you let us know then, as together we stand and we sing.